Greetings, I'm Fred Zaspel. Welcome to another author interview here at Books at a Glance. Today we're talking to Dr. Will Varner about his new book, Handbook for Praying Scripture. Will, welcome back to Books at a Glance. Great to have you with us.
Fred, it is always a delight to be with you, and thank you for the opportunity of explaining a little bit
you
about
bet.
This book.
You bet. All right, just briefly, tell us what this book is, how it came about, and what the contribution is that you hope to make.
Yes. Fred, for years I've made an attempt to pray scripture and sometimes adapt it. Mine's not the first book in this regard. Don Whitney has a book, Praying the Bible. He recommends praying scripture and just working through a passage and turning it into prayer. Mine is actually employing specific Christian biblical texts and praying them back to God. Ken Boa has a book, Praying Scripture Back to God. And so this is my own contribution. There's a personal thing here that I'm happy to say. After my daughter's death, I found myself, a lack of focus in prayer, my mind wandering. And so I found that praying a prayer book with set prayers was helpful. But I'm sure for many of our viewers, just praying somebody else's prayers from a prayer book, it's good, but you'd like to make it a little bit more personal. And what's better than inspired prayers, the inspired prayers of the Psalms? So after my daughter's death, I needed help, and I began praying scripture. And then last spring, I said, hey, why don't I put one of these prayer books together, and I floated it by the publisher. He liked it. And the result is a book of prayers and adapted prayers following a daily schedule for 31 days, and then following a 1 week schedule for longer prayers. And I try to cover the basic elements of prayer. Hey, let's face it. I always tell my students, I know you don't have this problem, but I have this problem of my mind wandering. I know you don't have this problem, but I have this problem.
Right.
Meaning we all have this problem. My prayers, turning into give me, give me, give me, give me. And we all know that prayer is more than give me this, give me that. So a lot of us old timers remember the ACTS prayer meeting and ACTS incorporate adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication.
But you've tweaked that a bit, though.
Yeah, I've tweaked that some. Not that it's wrong, but every day begins with an adoration prayer, then a thanksgiving prayer, and then a confession prayer. Then an affirmation prayer. I know that Luther said, pray the Apostles' Creed every day, affirm the truth of the Apostles' Creed. So we have affirmation there. And the Lord's Prayer, which I call the Disciples' Prayer, is then prayed in that scripture. And then I have petition, where I've adapted scriptures to pray for yourself. And then intercession to pray for others, and then finally with a benediction. So those seven categories, I've gathered scriptures from all over, and obviously there's a big section of Psalms here. And so I try to have variety. It's not the same thing every day, but there's a pattern every day.
Right.
And so I'm not afraid to use an adoration prayer two or three times in the 31 days. So there's structure, but hopefully there's flexibility enough. That was what I was trying to do. It worked for me, Fred. It has worked for me. So I'm praying that it works for others as well.
Be the teacher here for us. Talk to us about praying scripture. I think that might be a new concept for some. I think for many, you have your prayer and you have your Bible reading, and the two are separate.
Yeah.
So talk to us about the place of scripture in prayer.
Yes. As you well know, and most of your viewers know, many of the Psalms are prayers. Okay. And if they were good prayers for for David and the psalmist, they're good prayers for us. When David sinned and Nathan confronted him and he repented, we believe, as the psalm title says, that Psalm 51 is his prayer. Well, if I'm convicted of sin, I need to pray. What better way is praying an inspired prayer? And so that's what I've tried to do. These inspired prayers are very, very important. Now, sometimes I adapt them, but I'm careful in adapting them to never change the intent of the prayer. But sometimes Paul will say, I want you to do this. I want you to do this. I will turn that into a prayer saying, Lord, may I be this. May I do this. So it's keeping the intent of the scripture statement, but turning it into a prayer. We list the scripture reference beside each prayer. And whenever I've adapted it, the publisher has put an asterisk by the reference showing Varner has adapted this prayer. But I've been careful not to ever change the intent of the prayer. So that's what praying scripture is all about. And if scripture can give a benediction, then I should give a benediction. If Jesus said, pray like this in what I call the disciples' prayer, then I should pray like that. And I've been careful also to include what I call the disciples' prayer. As you know well, you're a preacher. Jesus would not have prayed that prayer, forgive us, but he says for his disciples to pray that prayer. So I just call it the disciples' prayer and leave the Lord's prayer for John 17, where he's praying.
Yeah.
So I include the Lord's prayer every day. As a matter of fact, I mentioned Luther, but also the Didache, one of the early church manuals, actually says, pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day. Well, I suggest at least once a day. So that's what we're doing. And but again, I'm very careful not to change the intent of a prayer when I adapt it. Okay, so that's what I'm trying to do with Scripture.
Yeah, I have found it helpful in my own practice when you're studying a passage of Scripture. How do you return? Ask the question, how do I return this passage to God in prayer?
Absolutely.
It may be some benediction, some doxology, some aspect of praise, worship, but it also might be some exhortations. It might be commands as to how to live. It might be teaching for which I should be grateful regarding the gospel or whatever. But take that, personalize it, and return it to God in prayer in that way.
That's what I'm trying to do. And adapting is not wrong. Don Whitney, says, pray through the passage, turn it into prayer. Ken Boa, praying scripture back to God. So yeah. I'm just trying to do it. And but I do provide what is called a pause button.
I was just going to ask you about that. Yeah.
Yeah. The pause button. If you're praising, maybe the scripture text that you're praying, there's other things you want to praise God for. And so I try to mention something that's, say, in the praise text, and now praise the Lord for specific blessings on you in your life, or praise the pray specifically for a minister or your church that might be hinted at in the prayer. So hopefully it's the best of both.
Yeah.
Praying scripture, but also pausing to, and I think when our own requests come out of a scripture text, it makes our praying petitions even more dynamic.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
it may point out a sin for which I need to be repentant. In all kinds of ways, the Bible ought to inform our prayers and shape
them. I often say, pray for any of your personal sins that come to mind.
Yeah.
Because obviously the scripture can't cover every single one of those, but you know in your heart and mind what they are.
Very good. All right, one last question before I let you go. Mm-hmm. One new aspect about the book is your use of the Legacy Standard Bible as your biblical text. You were involved in the translation of that. So what can you tell us about the LSB?
Sure. A few years ago, when the New American Standard Bible came out with its most recent revision, there was some concern. I mean, it's not heretical. No, not at all. But some of the changes, we thought, well, let's do a revision of the New American Standard Bible, but not go in the direction of some of the changes. And so we worked very hard, a group of six of us, three from Master Seminary, three from Master's University, where I teach. Abner Chow was the chairman. Abner and I did the New Testament. Abner and Joe Zakavich, professor at the seminary, did the Old Testament. We each served as consultants for the other's translations. I can served as a consultant on the Old Testament translation. And the other three members, we met together. It was in the height of COVID when it started. I oftentimes say that COVID enabled us to finish this much quicker because we weren't teaching as many courses. And so we were Zooming and discussing. It's good to have, there are some translations only done by one person. It's good to have a team because
Absolutely.
they can see things that I overlook. I might see something that another translator overlooks. So there's strength there. So I would say within a year, we had revised the New American Standard Bible, but again, if it hadn't been for COVID, it would have taken much longer, I'm sure. And it's called the Legacy Standard Bible. We try to maintain the legacy of the NASB. One of the things that probably has caught the people's attention more than anything else is, as you know, in the Old Testament, when the four-letter tetragrammaton is used, most Bibles have capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D for Yahweh, or as Tyndale called it, Jehovah. And then the small L-O-R-D is Adon or Adonai. Well, what we've done is that we've kept small, excuse me, L-O-R-D for Adonai, but for the tetragrammaton, we have translated it by the closest thing that we think we can come to Yahweh. It takes a little change. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have found, Fred, that the shock value of reading Yahweh is helpful because a couple of things. Exodus 3 says this is his name. And Numbers 6 in the what we call the Aaronic benediction, used by many a Baptist pastor, may Yahweh bless you. May Yahweh make his face shine upon you. May Yahweh lift up his face upon you and give you peace. Well, right after that, it says, thus shall you put my name on the children of Israel. So we think it's important to put God's name, Yahweh, and that's what we've done.
Very good.
The other changes are not radical, but we've tried to keep a masculine pronoun masculine. And not just neuterize it. So that's some of the aspects of the Legacy Standard Bible.
Very good. Thank you. We're talking to Dr. Will Varner about his new book, Handbook for Praying Scripture. It's a great idea. It's a very useful aid for your prayer time. We highly recommend it, not just to buy, but also to use. Will, thanks for talking to us again.
Thanks, Fred. I really appreciate this.